Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. James Franklin, by the way, met with the media yesterday after practice. We're going to hear that at 4:06 today. Stephen Means from Cleveland.com is going to join us at 3:35. We've developed an internal personnel issue, which I'm just really, I get this text from Matt Cotrillo, right? Matty Ice. And the text says about Zach. Zach, of course, was supposed to work today. Hey, Steve, it'll be Kyle and me the rest of the week. Zach's wife had a baby yesterday morning. All right, now look. Okay, we're trying to do a show here. We can't have, every time we turn around, somebody's own personal issue getting away this of the steamroller. Okay. Now, Zach, Kyle, do you know Zach's wife's name?
No, I actually don't.
Rachel. Matt just yelled out it's Rachel.
Rachel. Matt, I'm glad that somebody in the company attempts to be tight-knit with the rest of the unit.
Well, and so, we just found out today, like literally a couple hours ago, that the baby did indeed come yesterday. There was nothing for sure.
And we know everything's okay, right?
Everything's okay. Baby's healthy, so that's great.
Do we know a name?
Yes.
Eliza, I think.
The rumor has it it's Eliza.
Eliza. What a beautiful name. So, Zach, Rachel, congratulations on Eliza. I have only one hope, at least initially, for little Eliza. I hope, in no uncertain terms, that her features are like Rachel's. All right, so.
There we go.
You look like your dad. Oh,
oh boy. Hey, Steve, tonight on WKOK, the Phillies will be on. They're out on the West Coast up in San Francisco to take on the Giants.
They got problems.
Yeah, they do. Baumgartner on the mound for the Giants. Put that in a loss column for the Phillies, although we shouldn't prejudge. Game time, 9:45. The Phillies pregame is at, I think,
9:10.
Yeah, and so we'll hear from Scott Fransky, who blew a big one last night. I don't know if you heard about this, Steve.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. He couldn't catch a foul ball.
Yeah.
And he fumbled it. And then later, another foul ball out in Arizona at the Diamondsback game last night. There's a family of Philly fans kind of in the upper deck along the first baseline.
Yeah.
Dad is holding a baby in his right hand and makes a fabulous one-handed grab of the foul ball while the baby is there goo-gooing at the catch. So the Philly sideline or whatever you call it, baseline reporter went up and just praised this guy who had moved out from Philadelphia. And just gave Scott Fransky all kinds of grief about it. So, anyway, the Giants will be at home against the Phillies on 1070 WKOK. Meanwhile, Steve, tonight we have Eagles at with the Tennessee Titans. Game time on Eagle 107, 7:30 pregame with Merle Reese, the melodious voice of Merle Reese. And Mike Quick starting at 6:30 on Eagle 107.
Yeah, so we've got a lot going on tonight. The Eagles, look, the starters might play a series or two.
Maybe.
I think this will be an interesting indication about what do they think of Miles Sanders. If he only plays briefly tonight, that tells you they think a lot of him. Okay. So let's see how that plays out tonight. And that'll be on Eagle 107 with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick. And then, of course, News Radio 1070 WKOK will have the Phillies tonight. Lost last night. It's 6-1, I want to say.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Yeah, they were never in it. Never really in it.
Yeah, and it's the top of the order was fine last night, but the middle to the bottom of the order did nothing for them last night.
Didn't even show up, really.
Nothing. I mean, the middle to the bottom of the order did nothing for the Phillies last night. So, that's what we have coming up for you. We're looking forward to it very much.
Absolutely.
And let's see if they can make some sort of push here.
Well, still fighting hard for the top spot in the wild card. So, even though they did lose last night, they're still in the thick of things.
Well, the key is get in.
Yeah.
Right? I've talked about this before. The key is get in. Once you get in, and I go back to 2014? When, let's see, Giants won, it was the last time the Giants won. The Giants and the Royals both were played in the World Series. Well, what did they each have in common? They both won the wild card game that year.
And it's one and done.
And that tells you that if you can just get in, then at that point, let's see what kind of hay you can make. Because it's all about matchups. At that point.
And if you're the Giants and you have a guy named Baumgartner that's ready to go in that wild card, that's a good place to be.
Well, and that's what they did that year.
Exactly.
They started Baumgartner against the Pirates.
I know, and I broke my heart, actually. But, it was pretty clear what was going to happen.
Oh, I was doing the show.
Yeah.
And I said that I remember exactly what I said going into that night. I said, Pirate fans, I don't want to be blunt with you, but you have no chance. what do you mean we have no chance? I said, this guy will kill you. And he did. He totally...
Oh, it was dominating is an understatement.
Dominated.
Them. Yeah. And meanwhile, the Pirates did show up last night to face the Milwaukee Brewers. They showed up.
Now let's go to the other part.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about where Steve was right. Now we'll go where Steve was wrong.
Ah.
Drew Pomeranz started last night for the Brewers. I said, you have a real chance tonight. Wrong. Steve was wrong.
Steve was big time wrong.
I've got to take into account how bad you guys are. Okay.
So, what is it now? 4-19 since the All-Star break, something like that. So... I think they are they home again this week? I mean, who follows them anymore? Everyone's given up in Pittsburgh, and there's one reason why that is, Steve. Steelers.
Well, I think it's the biggest break they could possibly get.
Yeah, no one's going to pay attention to the Pirates from now till April because the Steelers are in town and they're about ready to take off. And everybody in Pittsburgh looks forward to that.
I mean, that's, to me, that's the biggest break the Pirates could get. They're going to be put on ignore.
Yeah.
And go from there. Look, people don't want to talk about the Pirates right now. They really don't.
No.
They really don't. It's like death.
Dan Patrick segment preceding the show here, Dan was talking about Antonio Brown, and he's out in Oakland, and can he prove the naysayers wrong, et cetera, et cetera. He's such a great pass receiver out of Central Michigan, sixth-round draft choice, et cetera.
Right.
And I think people in Pittsburgh, and as a Steeler fans especially, go, I think, good riddance. Yeah, he was good, but he was so disruptive to the team and the team chemistry that he wasn't worth it.
No, he was not worth it. I know He's a great player. But this is a team game. It's not a me game. And I think when Antonio broke... Okay, let's go back to when Mike Wallace was there.
Mm-hmm.
When Mike Wallace was with the Steelers, Mike Wallace was the deep threat. He was not a good route runner. But he was a great deep threat. And they had Antonio Brown. The Steelers then made a conscious decision to not stick with Mike Wallace. They made a conscious decision to sign that 5-year contract deal with Antonio Brown. Well, that was a great decision by the Steelers, and it shows you what they thought of him. The other part, too, is that Antonio Brown, at that point in his career, was a very humble, unassuming, great receiver. It just seems like the more publicity he got, the more he devoured, and the more it took him down a bad path, that was not, it wasn't good.
You know, Steve, if there's one thing we know about Steeler fans and Steeler Nation, they do not like the individual showboat. They love the team player, the guy that guts it out for the team and winning for the Steeler Nation, but a showboat like that, he just would stick out so badly. As one friend told me, there's not enough mustard at the Heinz Mustard Factory in Pittsburgh to cover that guy.
Right.
And they were just glad he's gone. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully for him, for his sake, out in Oakland with John Gruden as his coach, maybe he can thrive out there and thrive when they move to Las Vegas in a year or two.
I mean, I feel badly about the situation he's in now with the frostbite, because it sounds like it is not mild.
No.
It's and I've heard some people pass it off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what are you passing off?
Steve, why don't you just let our listeners know what we understand happened to Antonio Brown out at the training camp?
Well, you do this cryogenics, right? And they have it, for example, as a place here in State College called Victory Sports.
Right.
And they have it here. And a lot of people swear by it as to what it does for muscle recovery and so forth. And evidently he was using it, but it sounds to me like either he didn't have the right shoes on or the right footwear on. Or maybe he had no footwear on. I don't know.
Yeah,
but he ended up getting frostbite in his feet.
Yeah, cryogenics is actually freezing the body in some manner or fashion is really what it means. And, he was – and it's, frostbite is a burn, really, is really what it is. And he and not only did he get the frostbite, but he got it in both feet.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, candidly, Steve, from a medical point of view, I think we're in kind of uncharted territory because I don't ever recall – hearing any football player get this kind of ill. I mean, if you're going to climb Mount Everest, okay,
right.
I get that. Those things happen up at 29,000 feet above sea level. But not here. So this will be fascinating to see what and how the recovery takes place.
Well, the only athlete I can think of that had this issue was Rulon Gardner, the wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. The gold medalist in the Olympic Games.
And it was so severe, he couldn't, you know,
and he
couldn't
got,
do anything again.
Well, as everyone, maybe everyone doesn't know, but Rulon Gardner's from, like, Montana. And he upset the great Russian 3-time gold medalist Karelian in the Olympics on some amazing move.
Right.
But then thereafter, he was out in Montana snowmobiling and got stuck somewhere and ended up with severe frostbite, and there went his career.
Right. I mean, and that's what, you know, you worry about. You know, that's why I wouldn't pass this off.
No.
And I wouldn't sit there and go, oh, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
And act like, oh, this is a quick recovery thing. This is not a quick recovery thing.
No, because it actually damages the tissue in your, in his case, his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's where you have to be very, very concerned about that injury.
So just, something to follow through this season out with the Oakland Raiders and Antonio Brown's recovery. I think it'll be a thing to really watch and pay attention to.
I think you have to.
Absolutely.
I think this look, they acquired him for a reason. They acquired him to be the big play piece they've been aching for, to take advantage of the arm of Derek Carr.
Yes.
Well, you know, because again, they've already traded Amari Cooper. They traded him to the Dallas Cowboys midseason last year. So they've been looking for that home run hitter, that big play guy. And that big play guy, he may have come in a balloon, but right now, he might as well be ballooning. Ooh. Because he's not doing anything for them. Hey, we need to take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Phillies play tonight on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 9:10 is the start tonight for 9:45 first pitch. And the Eagles are in Eagle 107 tonight with Merrill and Mike as they open the preseason tonight. And it'll be interesting, I think, to Penn State fans to see how Miles Sanders is integrated into the Eagles' offense. If he plays early and very little, that might tell you a lot.
You know,
I'd mention that.
You know, when you hear the voice of Merle Reese, that all is well in the world. He just, what a great voice, what a great announcer. And he's back on Eagle 107 tonight to start the NFL season.
Merle Reese has no ego.
Well, right? we've had him here, and he it's like the guy sitting on the next bar stool just having a great conversation.
Hey, he has no ego.
He's all about the players.
And the organization. I have nothing but the highest respect for Merrill, and the reason why is because of what I just described. That's just because he's just one of those really good guys out there.
And the broadcast is not about him. It's about what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's great. But it's good to be able to listen to him tonight. And I think you're right. There's the preseason always is a telling moment in many ways, one of which is how much your starters play. And again, a Miles Sanders, a Saquon Barkley, et cetera, we'll know.
I think Barkley last year, they played the Browns in the opening game, the opening preseason game. He ripped off a 35-yard run, a couple of other runs, and that was it.
Yes.
Done for the night.
Yep. Don't need to know anymore. Let's keep it under wraps.
All right, I feel good about him. He's good.
he's okay. He'll pass the test.
He can play. All right, next half hour, we're going to talk with Stephen Means, Cleveland.com, about the Big Ten. And then James Franklin's press conference from last night after practice. Get a read from the head football coach about where his Nittany Lions stand at this point. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Zach and Rachel, congratulations on Eliza. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
100-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Awesome product, great sales staff, terrific service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. James Franklin's comments after practice from last night in the next half hour. Now we turn to Cleveland and Cleveland.com and Stephen Means, who covers Ohio State on a regular basis. Stephen, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, all right. Let's start with Ryan Day had three games last year to audition for this job, and he obviously went 3-0. It's now his ball game. When you look, and I want to start with the defensive part, the only return coach on that side of the ball is Larry Johnson. What kind of read do you have, Stephen, on that defense, especially with new coaching over there?
Yeah, the major thing that the players continue to talk about from the spring until now is things are simple. You know, last year there was a lot of concepts that you had to think a lot and you had to do an awful lot. Ohio State's got a lot of really good athletes, and they're really good when they get a chance to just be really good athletes. And this year they're going to get a chance to do that. Chase Young talked about 4-6 A to B. That's his job. Go find the quarterback and sack him. Go find the ball carrier and tackle him. That's pretty much how they're going to go about things. Obviously, Jeff Hafley talked about how they're not going to be in press man nearly as often as they were in the past couple of years, but they're still going to do it because it's something they do at the NFL level. But simplicity is the motto this year for the defense.
And you mentioned Chase Young in that answer. You know, Penn State fans saw firsthand last year, Stephen, how disruptive Chase Young can be. What can he do to then take himself up a couple of notches as he works his way to the next level?
Yeah, obviously we all know at this point he's going to be an NFL draft pick. He's the next in line of Ohio State defensive linemen that are first round top 10 guys. Look, last year he looked good. This year he looks like a man child. It's only been four practices. Like, in all seriousness, he's 21 years old and he looks like a 28-year-old grown man, which I don't know how you go from already looking like a 25-year-old grown man to a 28-year-old grown man in 6 months. But he did it. Like, he found a way to do it. He clearly, of the main ones we talk about, Tyquan Lewis, Nick and Joey Bosa, I think he's the best-looking athlete of that bunch.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Nick and Joey, their technique was amazing. But when we're just talking pure athleticism here, this guy, Chase, is different. Standing next to him, and then you put him in pads, it's Julio Jones-like, yeah, almost.
With length, I mean, he's got, see, the other part, too, is he's got great length. I mean, his ability is, I think, brought up another notch or two because of the length that he brings to that position. I mean, if you want, you know, it's not just going after the quarterback. If you want a zone blitz, he actually can get into a zone and be disruptive in a zone and a zone blitz.
Yeah, he really explained, like, a lot about I went to pass rushing school a couple of days ago with Chase Young, pretty much. And the sack is great. Obviously, that's the stat and that's the highlight that's going to get the fans roaring. But the thing he's learned is if you can be disruptive with a play, you did your job. Because obviously, different quarterbacks are different. You know, some quarterbacks can get the ball off quicker than others. You know, there's different things and different schemes that offenses run. But if you can disrupt the play, which he did against Penn, which is pretty much what he did at the end of that Penn State game, he just disrupted the play.
Yeah.
If he can do that on a down-by-down basis, he's going to have a heck of a season. You talk about his length. He's 6'5", 265. Yeah. And I don't know if there's a sport out there that if one of the main components is athleticism, he wouldn't be, you know, at least all conference level at, to be honest.
Obviously, there are going to be questions about Justin Fields. We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. But sometimes there's a domino effect to a guy being there. Is the door open for Dobbins to be an even more effective running back because now he has a quarterback that can actually move in space?
Yeah. Dwayne Haskins was great. He's probably the best quarterback Ohio State's ever had. But we all know he couldn't run to save his life. We're probably better athletes when it comes to running than he is. But his arm was so great that it didn't matter. But with J.K. Dobbins, it's a couple of things. It's one, he's the running back now. There's no sharing every other series with a Mike Weber. If there's 300 carries on the year, he's going to get 200 of them, and then the other, you know, and then the other ones are pretty much going to get split up between zone reads with Justin Fields, and then the other running backs when J.K. needs a break. So it's going to be that as well, which he's happy about. He says the only real benefit to, you know, pretty much interchanging series all the time was his legs were fresher, but there's no way that you can catch a rhythm with that. So, and Day said this as well. At times, it seemed like Dobbins was trying to get the home run every single time because he knows he's coming off the field. He doesn't have to do that this year. He can get the 5 to 7 yard carries and the 4 to 6 yard carries and build up some momentum, and eventually that big run is going to be there. So for him, the fact that he doesn't have to come off the field as much, I think, is a bigger testament to the type of season he can have than because Justin Fields is out there, he's a running threat as well.
All right, so let's get to Justin Fields for a moment here. Obviously, there's very limited tape on this level as to what he did at Georgia. So going in, what to you were the knowns about Justin Fields that Ohio State fans should be comfortable about? And then for you, what has to be proven in a game?
The knowns are this. He's Terrell Pryor-like with how he runs the ball. So the third down read option's back. We saw it a little bit in the spring game, and we've seen them practice it a little bit over the practices we've gotten a chance to watch. So from a running standpoint, obviously he is 10 times the runner that Dwayne Haskins could ever possibly be. I've talked to people in Georgia. I've talked to his coach. He has a great arm. He's got a rocket for an arm. He has an NFL-level arm. That's where his potential is as far as his throwing ability. What needs to work is his decision-making at times, which I think is why he didn't beat out Jake Fromm for the job. I think his talent is better than Jake Fromm's is. It's just Jake Fromm's a better decision-maker, which is about 65% of being a quarterback is just making the right read and the right decision. I think that's something he needs to work on. Anticipating throws, which Mike Gersich, the passing game coordinator, says come a long way since their first practice in the spring. I think – I've said this on a couple of podcasts now. I think he's such a great runner that – I think the focus needs to be on him staying in the pocket during these first couple of weeks when they're not playing anybody. You know, when they're playing the FAUs of the world, the Cincinnati's, even though that might be a tough game, like no one is expecting Cincinnati to beat Ohio State. Those are the games. So when the talent level is clearly better and maybe he can stay in the pocket a little bit longer and still, you know, make a play if he needs to with his feet, stay in the pocket a little bit, work on throwing mechanics, work on the passing part of being a quarterback. So that when you do play the Northwesterns, the Michigan States, the Penn States, the Nebraskas, the Michigans of the world, it's a natural thing to you because the running aspect's not going anywhere. Unless, you know, something crazy happens and all of a sudden he goes from what he told us is a 4.42 40 to a 5-second 40, I don't think anybody's worried about him running the ball.
Right.
I think early on, force yourself to be a passer so it's there later on in the season.
Yeah. Now, the accuracy part, it's not just the decision-making. Has there been any concern? An accuracy can develop. I mean, that's footwork right there. But everybody knows he has the big arm. What about the accurate arm? Because that's one thing about Haskins. Haskins, he could put the ball, boom, up right where you needed it to be.
Yeah, I think what we can't do this year, and I think we've learned that with Ohio State's like last three quarterbacks, you can't compare any of them. Braxton Miller was this thing. He was an athlete playing quarterback. Elusive and electric athlete, but he was an athlete playing quarterback. Cardale Jones had a rocket for an arm. JT Barrett was a bigger quarterback who, on third down, he's going to get those yards. And he was a prototypical spread offense quarterback. Right. Dwayne Haskins wasn't like that. And so early in the season, it's, hey, how come he's not running like J.T. Barrett? Well, because he's not J.T. Barrett. He's going to throw the ball down the field. He's going to get you 350-plus yards. With Justin Fields, it's going to be a lot of the same thing. Now, he has a little bit of both what Braxton had and what Dwayne Haskins got. I think he's somewhere in the middle of those two. But his accuracy is not going to be what Dwayne Haskins is going to be, because Dwayne Haskins is the first-round quarterback after 14 games of a college career. I think for him, it's getting on the same page with receivers is going to help his accuracy. And they said that there was only 5 days the entire summer where he didn't throw with receivers.
Right.
Terry McLaurin, who's now with the Washington Redskins, kind of alluded to like what the communication is between a quarterback and a wide receiver as far as getting where to throw the ball, reading a receiver's body language, and all those things. I think as he builds chemistry with his wide receivers and does those type of things, we'll see the accuracy improve.
Right. No, exactly. It's everything. All this stuff takes time. It all takes time. Does he have an offensive line that can buy time as a quarterback in the pocket when he has to be there? Does he have the kind of offensive line that can do that for him? Because it's one thing about Ohio State. It seems like there's a lot of shifting parts every year up front.
Yeah. There's only like four guys who have guaranteed starting spots right now. And one on the offensive line, and that's Thayer Munford. He's going to start at left tackle.
Right.
Jonah Jackson is probably going to start at left guard just because, like, he's a plug-and-play guy. He's a graduate transfer. You're going to play him. Outside of that, everything is up for grabs. We saw Harry Miller, who's a true freshman, right, who just got here over the summer as the second-string center. Josh Myers has been the first-string center for most of the spring practice and going in and out. Nick Petit Frere, he's a five-star guy. He was a top 10 recruit when he got here. Like, I think he might get into the mix. There's a Baron Browning. Brandon Bowen is going to get into the mix. Right. Like, right now, there's no guarantees other than Thayer Munford and possibly Jonah Jackson, who the starting lineup is. As of yesterday, the starting is Thayer Munford left tackle, Jonah Jackson left guard, Josh Myers center, Wyatt Davis right guard, and Brandon Bowen right tackle. But that might change tomorrow when we go in there.
Right.
So it's really hard to tell until they get a unit that they feel comfortable with.
What's the atmosphere around Columbus? Because obviously Urban Meyer brought with him great stability until last season. And it's a change. It's one thing to sit there and look at Jim Tressel, and Tressel already had a background, right? Mm-hmm. John Cooper had a background. Well, Ryan Day doesn't have a background as a head coach. So what is the atmosphere around Columbus like with this team?
So there's been these questions regarding Ryan Day. When you're replacing one of the 10 greatest coaches of all time, right? That's what we're essentially saying here. What do you do to replace a legend when you've only got 3 games of experience and those games came because the legend got suspended? Well, you start with recruiting, because that's probably the most important part of college football is recruiting. And the question was, is the recruiting going to drop off? Urban Meyer constantly had a top 10 class outside of last year, and that's because there was questions of whether or not he was going to be done or not. Well, right now, Ohio State's 2020 class is ranked number 4 in the country. It's got 2 5-star recruits, and the offensive side is amazing. Only thing it's missing right now is a running back, which they have to retool on because they missed out on Bijan Robinson and Kendall Milton this last week. So outside of that, offensive recruiting is amazing. So that's one thing you can attest to regardless. Ryan Day's offenses are going to look great. He's a quarterback coach. Quarterbacks are going to want to come play for him because they see what he did with Dwayne Haskins and feel like he can do that with other people. That's why Justin Fields is here, because he feels like Ryan Day can do for him what he did for Haskins. Defensively, the commits are coming along. I think Jeff Hafley helps that as a guy who was in the NFL. DBs want to play for a guy who has NFL experience because they want to get to the NFL. So from a recruiting aspect, okay, we're checking that off the list. Their 2021 class is also ranked number 4 in the country, and they've also got the guy who's probably going to be, by the time they graduate, is going to be ranked as the number 1 player in the country in Zach Sawyer. So from a recruiting aspect, you check that off the list. Now it's time to see what they do on the field. The only game I think we can use is the TCU game, because that was against real talent. The other two were against teams where at halftime Dwayne Haskins was off the field. So I think it'll be interesting. It's a weird schedule. They're in a position where this team can go undefeated, but they can also go 9-3. It's hard to tell right now. There's so many new pieces. But I think the one thing I can guarantee is the offense is going to look amazing. This is a year where a lot of the guys on defense feel like they need to redeem themselves after a less than stellar season last year. So offensively, I think they'll be great. The question is on defense.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate the insight very, very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. You know, one quick note, though, about Ryan Day being allegedly the, and he did not use these words, the quarterback whisperer. A lot's going to be on what he does with Justin Fields. Let's not get into this remarkable, my magic wand and Dwayne Haskins, look what he did. He did a really good job with Dwayne Haskins, but Dwayne Haskins already came in with natural talent, and Ryan Day did not recruit him. So now, let's see what he does with Justin Fields.
Now,
if Fields does well, okay, now you can say, all right, now look what he's done with this guy. If he doesn't do well, the reputation of being the quarterback whisperer goes by the boards.
Now, give us a background on Justin Fields coming to Ohio State, if you would, Steve.
Well, he was going to come here.
Yes.
And then he decommitted.
Right.
He ended up going to Georgia, which is his home state. He battles it out with Jake Fromm. Fromm wins the job, and from my understanding, Fromm won it with ease. So they decide to use Fields in situations during the course of the season, usually situations where he had to run. Now, the most infamous, I didn't say famous, most infamous was that fourth down play in the SEC championship game, which Alabama, to its credit, smelled out and took care of. After that, Fields decided to transfer. Supposedly during the season, there was something either written or said derogatory from a Georgia baseball player that was racially insensitive.
Ouch.
And it is alleged that Tom Mars, whom I believe was his attorney, used that to open the door for Fields to be able to play right away at Ohio State instead of having to sit out a year.
Yeah. And so, what year level is he?
He'll be a sophomore.
Okay.
He's a sophomore now. So that's he's a true sophomore going into the season. He's got 3 years there. So let's see what Ryan Day does with him. If Ryan Day does really well with him, well, it backs up what Steven just said. But to me, there's a mystery here. Nobody really can tell and won't be able to really get a feel about where Justin Fields is going as a quarterback, probably until early October. Penn State doesn't see him until November 23rd. So, back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, James Franklin's press conference from last night on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Big night tonight on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation family of stations because the Phillies will take on the San Francisco Giants tonight out on the coast at 9:45. 9:10 will be the airtime for that tonight on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And over on Eagle 107 tonight, it's the Eagles preseason opener as they swing back into action tonight. And you'll have Merrill and Mike on the call on Eagle 107. There you are.
Yeah, kick pregame 6:30, the kickoff 7:30. Tennessee Titans, the opponent, and it really doesn't matter in the preseason who the opponent is, but it'll be the Titans tonight. And all is well in the world in August when we've got baseball and football live going on around us.
Well, the new interim Goomba of a principality,
yes,
calls August his favorite month of the year. I mean,
remember Kyle, there. I was here when that happened.
Yeah.
And that sound in the studio was my jaw dropping to the ground when he said that. But that is our man.
I mean, Kyle, what is your favorite month of the year?
My favorite month of the year, probably March. I think because my birthday is in March and that's on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
So it's
and
a good
you
one.
March Madness going on. You have obviously spring training baseball going on. Meanwhile, Suteroni is over there saying it's August and nothing. I mean, like tonight's game doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. I think it has something to do with his passion, and that's a hard word to describe, but his passion for auto racing, but
there's really nothing in August
exactly,
that happens in auto racing.
And it's not the Indianapolis 500.
Pocono. Pocono is going on. You got to pay at least a tip of the cap to the people in our own backyard.
True.
That was in July, though. There's just IndyCar at Pocono in August, and besides
but
Kevin.
But that's his baby.
Oh,
that's his baby. Okay? That's what, like, this. He wakes up every day. There are two things that stir the straw that stirs the drink in his sports life. IndyCar, people going around fast in circles. All right? And the Olympics, which is off every 2 years.
Yeah. Well, we've got the Pan Am Games live from Peru right now.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bob. Yeah. That'll be the last time that's brought up on this show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Today, Tiger shot a 75, but Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, and Tiger Woods all had the same theme today in their post-round press conferences. They are sick and tired of the slow play on the PGA Tour. Now, we're going to get into slow play in all sports because I think there's some reasoning behind it that's bad reasoning, but there's some reasons behind it I don't like. And we'll talk about that in the last half hour. James Franklin's press conference from last night in the next half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury.